I'm a believer in Jesus who's in recovery from the effects of a lifelong addiction to pornography and unhealthy relationships with women. My name is Ed. November 10th, 1972, I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, 6 weeks premature, 4 pounds, 5 ounces, and was diagnosed with spinal bacterial meningitis. The doctors gave me a 5% chance of living and a 0% chance of being cognitively normal. By the grace of God, they were able to miraculously diagnose it early, and after living in an incubator for 6 weeks, I was released to go home with my young parents. My mom was 22 years old and my dad 27, both Jewish by birth and heritage. However, like many American Jews, no need or desire to understand the Jewish scriptures of the Torah or what that means whatsoever. Other than the occasional Seder at Passover or lighting the menorah on Hanukkah, there was no other trace of their Judaism. It was pretty easy for Dad to hide his Judaism. Our last name is Leif, but it was originally Lifshitz. It was shortened when my grandfather emigrated from Russia in the early 1900s because anti-Semitism was so prevalent in those days. Leif was much more inconspicuous than Lifshitz. My dad, I tell people, that they cut the shits, so... My dad likes to brag about his gambling on horses and frequently visiting prostitutes in his teens. He grew up in New York City thinking that the measure of a man was to sleep with as many women as possible, play and gamble on horses and sports, and to ultimately get married, be the king of his castle, and have his wife serve his every need. My dad was in the construction industry with a desire to move up the ranks in order to bring him financial riches and prestige. Therefore, in order to move up the ladder, he had no reservations about moving around the country in order to advance his career. From Boston, he took us to Jacksonville, Florida, Detroit, Michigan, and ultimately settling in Minneapolis, Minnesota when I was 3 years old. My sister came along shortly thereafter. My dad began to travel quite a bit for business, which led to quite a bit of social drinking and philandering. In his mind, he was becoming the big shot that he desired to be. Traveling all over the country, making money, late-night drinking, and womanizing with the executives would ultimately lead to him having multiple affairs. The cheating came to a head when a neighbor told my mom that he brought a woman home into the house when she was not home. When my mom found out about it, she was done. Done with his antics and filed for divorce. My dad would ultimately go on to marry this woman and relocate from Minneapolis to New Orleans, Louisiana. I discovered pornographic magazines early on, somewhere around 6 or 7 years old. My dad left some behind. It became a secretive outlet to subdue the pain of the divorce. Little did I know that it would lead to a destructive and lifelong struggle. I also dealt with the pain by stealing loads of candy and gum and baseball cards from the local convenience store. Stealing from stores and people would also continue into my early and adult years. I would also act out by vandalizing neighbors' houses, getting in trouble at school, and being cruel to my younger sister. I suppose I had to take out my anger on someone younger and weaker than me. While getting in trouble at school and hurting my sister was pretty obvious to my mom, the pornography and the stealing were deep secrets hidden within me that started to create lots of guilt and shame. At this point, my mom simply needed a break. She was having trouble raising us, holding a job, and redefining who she was as a young woman after a divorce. So my sister and I, completely against our will, were sent to New Orleans to live with my dad and his wife, my new stepmother, Judy. Imagine moving from Minneapolis to Minnesota, from Minneapolis to Louisiana. You can't get any more opposite than that. It was a culture shock from many perspectives, the biggest of which turned out to be the unhealthy relationship with my new stepmother. She was cruel, verbally abusive, and clearly didn't want my sister and I living with her and my dad. I was afraid of her. I hated her. After a year and a half, one day, I isolated myself in the garage. I was angry, sad, and literally afraid to live under the same roof with her. She found me in the garage and very coldly said, "If you really loved your mother, then you should go live with her." My mom had since relocated from Minnesota to San Francisco. When my sister and I went to visit her on a winter break from school, we decided to just stay there without telling my dad. He was angry. I felt extremely guilty for leaving my dad. I loved him and I wanted a close relationship with him, but the pain of living with Judy and her abuse was just too much. I was now in junior high school, living with a single mom in a small apartment, and yet attending another school in a different culture. My behavior was now getting worse and out of control. At the same time, my self-esteem and my sense of identity was completely in the toilet. It was very difficult moving all over the country, changing schools. So how did I deal with the pain? The same way I'd learned to deal with it from the beginning. Stealing, cruelty, bullying, and pornography. My pornography habit went from magazines to videos with the invention of the VCR, which most experts, in their opinions, it's much more destructive. This habit was creating in me a warped view of how men and women were designed to relate with each other. While there were girls who were interested in me in junior high, I would always pull away out of a fear of failing or the self-imposed pressure that I would put on myself to be acceptable. Therefore, it was always easier for me to go back to the safety of pornography. This created more of a pattern of deep shame and hopelessness. I learned to sabotage myself by becoming as unattractive as possible to the opposite sex. Vulgar comments, crude behavior, and simply being mean were quite effective. I began to overeat and gain weight, which also became a source of hiding the pain. In eighth grade, I discovered that alcohol and drug experimentation, too, were effective forms of killing the pain. So I began to frequently binge drink on the weekends. I also found relief in bullying kids at school. Unbeknownst to me, an event would happen that would turn out to be a seed planted that one day would sprout into a belief in Jesus. It came from a man that my mom hired to clean our apartment once a month. He must have been a youth pastor of some sort because he introduced me to Jesus in a very effective way. He knew that I listened to heavy metal music, so he made me a cassette tape of the Christian rock band called Striper. They sounded just like the secular music that I listened to, except they were singing about Jesus, which as a Jew is very strange. Tony invited me to the Striper concert along with a few other kids from his church. I received a Bible track and was guided to read the Sinner's Prayer. While I thought it was strange at the time, I truly believe that this was integral to my ultimately accepting of Jesus 28 years later. In 1985, after my eighth grade year in California, my dad divorced Judy. So I jumped at the chance to move back in with him. This way I could run away from my problems in California and have a fresh start in high school, which would be taking place in Dallas, Texas. By the time I was 16 years old, I lived in 7 states all over America. After my sophomore year in high school, my dad got a job offer in New Jersey. So yet again, I was forced to move across the country, another new school, and a completely different culture. I was miserable. I just started to get my life back on track in Texas when my dad uprooted me again. I hated him for that. The depression and anxiety were setting in. One day in my senior year of high school, I came home to find Judy sitting in the living room with my dad. I was horrified. I was getting ready to graduate to head off to college, so I guess my dad figured that he would take an opportunity to get back with Judy. I remember being so upset that I punched a hole in the wall and then took my Camaro out for a joyride at speeds in excess of 100 miles an hour that almost led to a terrible accident. I was depressed, confused, and very angry. At this point, I just wanted to go away to college and yet again run away from my problems. So I went as far away as possible and enrolled at Florida State University. I joined a fraternity and continued to drink my problems away. The drinking led to cocaine. The cocaine led to more guilt, more shame, more lying, extreme depression, and anxiety. The low point in my life happened at the beginning of my junior year in August of 1993. I had become extremely paranoid, depressed, and anxious. The cocaine and the alcohol combined with my untreated depression had come to a head. I had isolated myself from my friends as I wallowed in a state of confusion and fear. The only way I could comprehend to kill the pain now was to end my life. As I lay on my bed, locked in my room of the house that my roommates and I had rented, I picked up the phone to call my dad. He could tell that I was out of it, so he responded in an angry rage, calling me a loser and a druggie. So I told him that I was going to kill myself and hung up the phone. I found a large bottle of extra-strength Tylenol and proceeded to swallow as many as I could. As I started to fade away, something made me pick up the telephone to call 911. Within a few minutes, the paramedics had busted down the door, grabbed me, and rushed me into the back of an ambulance headed for Tallahassee Memorial Hospital. It was a complete nightmare. I strongly sensed at the time, and I truly believe today, that the paramedics were acting as angels sent from God. The whole experience was surreal and life-changing, to say the least. The beginning of my spiritual exploration began in a hospital room in Tallahassee, Florida, and for a second time, my life was spared. I left Tallahassee and moved back in with my dad, who had since broken up with Judy for the second time, and now moved from New Jersey to Los Angeles. And he remarried another woman named Krista, his now third wife at the time. I started seeing a secular psychologist and began taking the hot new antidepressant at the time called Prozac. My psychologist and Prozac profoundly changed my life. I began running and working out every day. I lost a ton of weight, and I enrolled at the University of Kansas. Yeah, I know it's extreme, from Florida to LA and then right smack in the middle of the country in Lawrence, Kansas. My best friend, Steve, from junior high school, invited me to start fresh with him at KU to finish out my junior and senior years. Now, in my mind, thanks to Prozac and physical fitness, for the first time in my life, I had self-esteem and self-confidence. I was now dating girls, becoming the man who I thought I was supposed to be. The problem now became an inability to have a healthy relationship. I would get scared, I'd get confused, and I didn't know how to handle a relationship, so I ran away from each girl that I dated, and then regretted it later on. Once again, I covered up my problems with pornography and now strip clubs. After graduating college in 1996, I moved to the San Francisco Bay Area as my mom and my sister lived there, and my best friend Steve. I received an opportunity in sales for the Oakland A's baseball team. I quickly learned that I was a very good salesman. However, there wasn't a lot of money to be made in selling season tickets to a failing baseball team in the Bay Area. So, at the recommendation of my mom and stepdad, I got my license to sell insurance, as it promised to be a much more lucrative sales career. I started making a lot of money and bought myself a new BMW, and life was good. I had no interest in drugs or alcohol, so now money became my idol. I dated several women, but no one of any significance. I was still completely lost in my sin. At the time, my spiritual walk was wrapped up in the New Age movement, meditating at the local Zen Buddhist temple, listening to teachers who preached the power of positive thinking, which promised peace, financial abundance, and tranquility. There were a lot of positive aspects to these practices. Plus, I'd never heard of a Buddhist monk getting in trouble with the law like so many of the other preachers and pastors did who I saw on TV getting busted for awful things. One of my friend's wives, who was also Jewish, when I told her that I meditated at a Zen temple, she said, "Ed, you're a Jew-boo." So, what are you talking about? There's a lot of Jews that are into Buddhism. You're a Jew-boo. Anyway, the problem with Buddhism and positive thinking and all of that is there's a lot of good things in it, but I was still terribly lost in my sin. So there's no mention of any of these things that are harmful. If it feels good, it must be good. In 2001, as one of the top insurance salesmen for my company, I qualified for a trip to Hawaii at the Ritz-Carlton on Maui. I went by myself since I did not have a girlfriend at the time. So I thought to myself, here I am in this beautiful location, money in my pocket, and no one to share it with. The last day of the trip, I went down to the beach, and I prayed to an unknown God, and I asked him for a girl. About a month later, I met and fell madly in love with my now wife, Catherine, in San Francisco. It was love at first sight. I'd never felt real love before, and it was out of this world. I vividly remember that I wanted nothing to do with pornography or any other women. We were married in her Russian Orthodox Church in 2005. I was on top of the world. I actually got baptized before the wedding. It meant absolutely nothing to me. It was just a ritual that I had to do in order to marry in her church. I remember getting into this cold pool, and there is this strange Orthodox man praying above me in Slavic. And when he got done, all her family are cheering and crying and doing all this stuff. And I'm like, give me a towel, I'm freezing. I didn't get it. but we got to get married in her church. So after I got married, I thought that my desire for pornography and other women would magically go away. Boy, was I wrong. Not only did it not go away, but it got worse. I was now so afraid that I was going down the same path of divorce and dysfunction as my father did. In 2007, Kat got pregnant. We were so excited to be parents. 7 months into her pregnancy, we went into the doctor to find out the sex of the baby, and the doctor shocked us as he casually looked at the ultrasound and said, "I'm sorry, but I don't see a heartbeat." We were crushed. Kat had to be induced to deliver our stillborn little girl, who we had already named Valentina. Why did this happen? Did I cause this because of my sin? Where was this God that was supposed to be so great? Shortly thereafter, I received a business opportunity to transfer to Portland. I was promised the world, lots of new insurance accounts to take over, a lower cost of living, and a fresh start. Unfortunately, nothing happened as planned. My income dropped by almost 70%. We couldn't afford to pay our bills, and it was raining, and raining, and raining, and raining. What an awful mistake we made. Worst of all, our marriage was suffering. I was dealing with a lot of anger. Here's where the narrative turns. My life took a major turn on June 8th, 2008, at a Starbucks in Lake Oswego. I was down in the dumps, not knowing what to do professionally, so I met with the top insurance salesman from the company who I was with, hoping to get some professional advice and encouragement. Andrew looked at me in the eyes and said, "Ed, you've got to pray about this." And that was it. Andrew led me to a Bible study, a biblically sound church, and he gave me my first Bible, which he signed with what has become one of my life verses, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Proverbs 3:5. At the Bible study, they happened to be studying the life of Moses. So I learned more about Judaism in 2 months than I had ever learned as a Jew. This was not a coincidence. When I learned that Jesus was the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God, sent to be sacrificed for our sin, I was blown away. After all this time, this Jesus thing was actually real, and I was sold. I then immersed myself in Bible studies, men's groups, and everything and anything in order to increase my knowledge of my newfound faith. My wife jokingly called me Pastor Ed because I was so into it. Unfortunately, I thought that becoming Christian and accepting Jesus would take away all my desire for pornography and other women. Overeating, bad thoughts, the whole deal. Wrong again. I was now a big target for Satan. In 2009, Kat gave birth to our son Gregory. What an incredible blessing. As a man, the gift of a son was beyond description. I was now being given the opportunity to raise my son with the understanding that he's God's child on loan to me and my wife, with the incredible responsibility to raise him up under God's guidance. Now we have the chance to break the chains of divorce in our family. And I have the opportunity to break the chains of sexual sin with Gregory. We get to help him to learn to view women as sisters in Christ, as opposed to sexual objects. God willing, he will be given a wife one day to continue these healthy patterns that will last for eternity. Asking Jesus into my life was the first step. However, little did I know that the real work now began in order to chip away at my old self. This turned out to be much harder than I thought. During the first several years of our marriage, I was stuck in the sin of now internet pornography. It was having a very negative effect on our marriage. We were arguing frequently and resenting each other. This led to a lot of anger. I was frequently angry, which made my wife understandably uncomfortable. So in 2011, I came to CR in order to deal with my anger and pornography addiction. I came to CR on and off from 2011 until 2013. I would come for 3 months and then leave for 6. I was not allowing CR and the steps to do their job. In 2013, my wife was so fed up with my anger that she asked me to leave the house. I was crushed. I was now headed down the same path that my father took, my worst nightmare. I was able to find a pastor at my church who took me in. He encouraged me to go back to CR and to get into a step study in order to deal with the deep roots of my current problems. Since I was willing to do whatever it took to get my marriage back on track, I agreed. For the first time, I was now able to open up to other men who shared the same struggles. One of the most powerful benefits of CR and the step study for me is to know that I'm not alone. For most of my life, I thought I was the only one struggling with pornography. I thought that there was something so profoundly wrong with me, and everyone else had it all together. There is power in each of the 12 steps. However, step 5 was particularly impactful. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James 5:16. I've now been attending CR faithfully since 2013. CR helps me to stay connected and accountable to God and to my brothers in Christ. Over the past few years, my marriage has been restored. I now get to walk alongside other men who share similar pain, to pray with them, to encourage them, and to use the hurts, habits, and hang-ups in my life for God's glory. I have discipleship relationships with my sponsor as well as other men whom I sponsor. I'm a leader at my son's Awana's group, a t-ball coach, and lead a small group at our church. God has used all of my junk for the greater good and for his glory. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I still struggle with my sin from time to time, but as my mentor says, I struggle well. To the newcomer, I say, keep coming. Get into a step study. Allow a brother or a sister to speak into your life. You're not alone, and God has good plans for you if you allow him to work in your life. It does not matter what your past looks like. It does not matter what your sin is. You are forgiven, and you are welcome here. Thank you.